Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. You know, I know you don't have to tell me. You are having an awesome, a fabulous, a marvelous, a phenomenal, almost perfect. I can continue on and on because it doesn't matter what it looks like. You actually is better than we think. I know it's hard to say that. I had a question that come in. Someone asked me a question. I just want to talk about that right quick when the team gets the everybody together. Someone asked me, when you feel weary, you know the Bible says don't get weary. You know, don't get weary. You know, it says don't get weary and well doing. But what do you do when you get weary? And I have three things you have to do when you feel that way. I have been that way in my life. And I know all of us have. If you say you hadn't, you know what? You deceive yourself if you haven't felt like you would, you know, get weary and well doing. The three things I do, one, I tend to get to myself. I get to myself and I meditate, I pray, I read the word. Now, this what I do because I know I have to be with things that give me strength. You see what I'm saying? So I do those things, and that can take, sometimes when I look around, that's 4 or 6 hours there or even a whole day because I have to have my spirit, my soul has to get reset, if you will. And it's always in you. You just have to make sure that you reset yourself to reinvent yourself, just refocus. That's what I say. And then the second thing is I have a very supportive family and friends, and they really keep me grounded, if you will. You have to have someone, even if it's not your family, sometimes it may not even be your immediate family, but have someone that you can actually, you know, talk to, someone that's going to really push you, that's not going to let you do things that you shouldn't do. And then the next thing is celebrate the small things. You know, I always do that. I always say that on my when I do my coaching, you know, when we do our challenges, the things that you got to celebrate the small things, okay? I mean, I'm a big ice cream person, people know. You know, I have my ice cream, okay? So the thing is, you have to remember, you will get weary, unfortunately. It said don't get weary. But when you feel out of place, you feel like you need to regroup, if you feel not like yourself, I go back to my foundation, which is, me, my God, meditation, me back into my music or something like that. And, of course, my family is very supportive. And then I have to say, wait a minute, you actually have accomplished something already. And usually that gets me back in place real quick, okay? It's amazing. But you know what we do here at Good Deeds? We actually help you shine your light to the world. And what's your light? Your dreams, your passion, the things that you actually have in life. And then the other thing that we do is we share your products. And that's what we love to do because we have an awareness, have an education. Being aware of a thing is very important. So we have to do that. You know, what I like to do is support other people. And, you know, that may not be reciprocal, but you know what? God will take care of that, so don't even worry about that. But what we're going to do real quickly is we're going to actually play a little bit of a song, and then we'll get our guests on in here. We're going to actually talk today about mental health awareness. Now, that's very important right now. I know that's a topic that people sometimes shy away from, but we actually need to know about that. And we have an awesome young lady with us. She's an author. She's a mental health advocate. But we're going to actually play one of our little drops that we have, and we're going to make sure she's ready in the queue, and we'll be right back. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
This is John Schamberger, founder and CEO of Millionaires of Trainings Only. We are proud to support and listen to Good Deeds Live every Mondays and Thursday at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time with your host, the platform builder, Dr. Renee Sunday. So remember, wherever your mind can conceive, and believe in your purpose, it can achieve. And don't stop. Get it.
Well, that's one of our sponsors. If you want to know anything about sponsorship or advertising with Good Deeds, we actually own every day pretty much now. So you actually can get your information across the world. And the thing is, you know, always remember that you always need to help somebody else. But we want to welcome none other. She's going to tell us how to pronounce her name the correct way. But we're going to welcome AJ to Good Deeds. How you doing? Are you there?
Yes, Dr. Sunday. How are you?
Oh, I'm just great. Welcome to Good Deeds.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So let's talk, because, you know, we love to actually have a guest that's actually, you know, I'm in the medical field, anesthesia. Actually, I had to do anesthesia today. I'm an anesthesiologist. But I really like when we talk about anything in the medical field because, it, you know, it's dear to my heart. But tell us a little bit more about yourself and you know, the things that's going on in your life.
I am a mental health advocate. I've been an advocate since about 2007, 2008 when I was first diagnosed, and that's developed a lot more over the years as I saw a lot of inconsistencies and flaws within the system. And I said to myself, one day I don't want anyone to have to live like this. A lot of patients aren't aware that they have rights and don't really know how to advocate for themselves. So that's kind of how that happened. I'm also an author. I wrote my memoir about those experiences and about growing up undiagnosed. The title of the book is Hindsight is 2020, second edition, How an African-American Girl Grows Up Mentally Ill and is Dead Last to Find Out. I guess everybody else knew I was crazy. I just didn't. So that's kind of how that happens.
Well, look, you know what, let's step back a little bit because, you know, I always want to make sure the audience, because it's a lot of definitions, if you will, a lot of people say slang words and stuff, but from your research and the things, you know, of course we got to purchase your book, but tell us a little bit of what your definition or from what you're being an advocate for others, the definition of what we say mental illness, can we still say that's mm-hmm. the same as mental health? Kind of educate us in that area because I hear people using it interchangeable, but we want to actually get correct today.
Well, a mental illness is a condition that affects your mood, your thoughts, your behavior, and how it relates to your everyday life in its dysfunction. It's to a point where each area of your life, whether that's your personal, educational, your medical, professional lives, is so affected by your thoughts, your behaviors, and your moods that you can't control it, and you're in need of medical intervention.
Mm. Now, that's a great definition there because a lot of people can say, because I know I am, I'm a type A person, I know I am, but that actually is kind of good when it comes to my medical field, being an anesthesiologist, but I kind of run my family kind of wild, you know, because all the hangers are one way and all that kind of stuff. But you made a key point that we want to point out is basically you have concerns or actually have challenges, if you will, to actually function on a day-to-day basis. Is that kind of correct for us to say that?
Right. Once you get to a point where your behavior has taken over areas of your life and it's out of your control, that's when it then is defined as an illness. And as Black people especially, we won't seek medical attention. Heck, we won't seek medical attention for things that we know is wrong. But a lot of times we won't see anything as seek help for anything if we don't consider it an illness. And as women, we're told, you know, it's our hormones, but not realizing all that stress and maybe changes in diet and sleeping all day, that could be depression. All the short temper, the attitude problems, and the outbursts and rage, that could be bipolar. Your agitation, and sometimes for no reason at all, that could be anxiety disorder. So we're not calling things what they are, and it just totally flies under the radar.
Wow. Now, you have set some files on us now because I can see here, I'm in, you know, I can speak mostly of Atlanta. the traffic is out of this world, and you people dart in and dart out and do all these things and put the, you know, do different gestures to you. And you know, we've actually had road rage to the point that people have shot people and killed people. And just those things right there that we see just in traffic and, of course, on our jobs, you know, it's kind of somewhat scary a little bit that so many people have been misdiagnosed. Come, what you're saying is having an attitude, you know, that's out of proportion, or we can't keep stable relationships. So we have been misdiagnosed, or like you say, especially in the African-American population, you know, pushed up under the rug, if you will. Oh, wow.
True. And I had so many things that was going on. It is common that when a person is diagnosed as an adult, they'll look back and see, once they learn what the symptoms are, that they've been symptomatic their whole life. And I can attest to that. I just didn't know what was going on. When I first came to Atlanta, and I went to Clark Atlanta University for about 3 years before I moved from Atlanta. But you got to think, I had all of these things going on, and I was so overwhelmed and didn't know how to process it. I left an abusive, unstable home. I had been bullied as a child. I started showing symptoms of anxiety when I was a teenager, actually a little bit before that. I was introduced to my father after an 8-year absence. I was the illegitimate, so I don't know if it was wifey ultimatum or he and my mother just decided to call it quits. He left when I was 10, came back when I was 18. Then I moved to ATL and met his entire family, who was shocked and not really accepting of me. Also, I was forced to drop assault charges against my brother. I had all these things going on, and I'm trying to live in this world all by myself. I'm grown now. I'm out of the house, and this is what I'm dealing with. A ball of mania is what I was, except I wasn't diagnosed until about 15 years later.
Wow. Well, let's move a little further, because this is what I want to, and of course we need to get your book, but, you know, being in the medical field myself, I mean, because I see people when they really upset because, one, they don't know what they expect for, you know, having surgery or procedure, and then number two, they NPO, nothing. They haven't had nothing to eat, nothing to drink, so, you know, that brings out a whole nother gamut there. But bring in from your perspective the medical field. Where is the medical field? I mean, you know, we have all these books that we give all the diagnosis. We have all the technology now, and a lot of physicians that's in mental health awareness. I mean, you know, tell us, do you think have we advanced, and where are the loopholes that we have right now in regards of, you know, mental health awareness?
So we're in limbo. Certainly we've improved from the days of lobotomies and asylums, although there are asylums in different parts of the world. But in terms of the mental health care system in the U.S., we've improved since, say, the 1950s and the 60s, where it was that deinstitutionalization movement, trying to get people back into their communities and transitioning back to home life. But we've regressed a little bit in that every year Congress is steadily cutting funding for mental health care, and that's for patients, that's for our law enforcement. The money that's needed is not there. There are drugs that are constantly introduced on the market that may or may not help. And then in a lot of states now, you can have what's called like the Baker Act, for example, in Florida, where you can have someone committed who you may think be having a mental breakdown or an episode of some sort. There's a lot of push for institutionalization, but that's been proven to be more harmful than good. So we've progressed, but we've regressed in a lot of ways, and our system is just broken. The funding that's needed is not there, and as a result, jails and prisons have become our largest mental health care facility.
Now, I believe that. I really, truly believe that, because, in my opinion, the millennials just really want someone to show them love. And a lot of time that ends up being the different organizations that they you know, become a part of, and then, you know, that one thing goes to the next to be accepted. That's just my opinion. And, you know, I don't have kids, so I may not have the real basis of that, but I'm just going by what I actually see on a day-to-day basis in the community, and also when
right.
I'm actually in the, in, you know, in the workplace, you know, at work. But AJ, I want to ask you this. As the community, because this is what I love that you do. You're advocate. I mean, you and forgive me if I'm not saying this correctly. I do have a warm heart. You can actually talk even from experience, which a lot of times some advocates have had that experience and some have not. And I commend you for that, for actually, you know, of course, standing up for yourself, and then two, actually standing up for others. But in your role as an advocate, how can the community, because that's what I kind of think, the community need to actually be their own, you know, we need to stand up for each other. How do you think that we can actually, especially in a metropolitan area, because it sounds like we need to kind of work on the education of why people are being and the prison system, you know, it seems like it's so much that we can do, but what's your take on how, as being an advocate, what we need to do to kind of help this situation?
Sure, and it's funny you should mention that there is a psychotherapist by the name of Dr. Nancy Boyd Franklin, and she came up with what's known as the multi-systems approach, and her idea is to include doctors and clergy and the community and family and all these other, and as a comprehensive approach to mental health care, and not just one of those things. So on the community level, I think education is very important, and I encourage people to sign themselves up for support groups. Organizations like NAMI, National Alliance for Mental Illness, Mental Health America, and so many others, they offer free classes, education classes, so you can find out about what these illnesses are and how to support your loved one or your friend. You learn a lot about symptoms. You learn about distress tolerance and how to de-escalate situations and how to support one another. I think going to those peer classes and then on a community level, going to our town hall meetings and making sure that we communicate with our legislators and our elected officials, especially to push for funding and community programs. All of those things together will really help to strengthen the mental health system and to ensure that there are programs, you know, for people who come out of hospitals or who need to go into hospitals, who are coming home from prison, coming home from the military, coming home from college, needed to be in place in order to support people in their own community.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot. You know, we really need to do that. That's very powerful in what you're saying. So, and I'm going to just step back 1 minute, and you said that the medical field has improved, but then from what I see, if I can interject a little bit, is a lot of we are on, and I'm saying we because all of us on some kind of medication. You know, I'm a vitamin kind of girl, and the thing, what I see that it is on the medical side, if a lot of medicine interact with each other medicine. You know, people don't realize when you take an aspirin, that interferes even with your blood pressure medicine, for example. But I know for sure a lot of the medications that's used in the mental health industry, it really truly interacts with the anesthesia medicine we use, and it interacts with the simplest thing as a BC powder. But, of course, when we go to the gas station, what? The main thing we see on the counter is a BC tablet. So I think we need to bring that in as well. I know the drug industry, you know, always coming out with medications. But what that's the one thing that I see is also a concern, AJ, because people just don't know. I mean, because we take a BC, you know, just like I said, when you go to the gas station, oh, I got a headache, so I'm going to take a BC powder. But I think the interaction, and, of course, we need to bring in what we've seen, unfortunately, in the media, using those type of medications and then drinking alcohol, you know, doing other illicit drugs, that actually can be detrimental. Let's just be honest. I think that the overall spectrum needs to be educated. What's your thoughts on that?
It really does, and I like to see nowadays, I'm really glad to see that more and more practitioners are educating their patients on the dangers of mixing medications and how mental health meds can affect your somatic health medications. I'm glad we're in a time now where more and more practitioners are offering a depression screening as a part of standard care and not just for potential mental health patients alone. A lot of people don't realize once you take a medication, it affects every organ of your body. It affects your gut and your brain and your heart, your liver, and all of these things. So taking more than one could severely affect or maybe minimally affect the other in some way. And it's important that people, there again, that education and really be aware of what they're putting in their bodies. And sometimes you take meds because you absolutely have to or you're mandated to by a doctor or even a judge in some cases. And you can't help but take those two and three different medications. But it's important to know what you're taking and how to deal with the side effects. The side effects is a huge issue.
I really agree with that, yeah, because I've seen that firsthand. Now, let's get back to, and again, I love to give credit where credit is due, that you actually, you know, have been brave enough to represent other people, but then the thing is you actually have put this in print, especially for the Afro-American population. We actually need to, you know, I'm from the South, so we used to say this thing, whatever happened, you know, in the house, stayed in the house, but everybody
right.
We have lost our minds, literally, of the things that we have shed. As we go forward and we, you know, with the millennials, and you're a young lady, especially here, and I'm not saying, I know we have people listening all over the world, but in the major metropolitan cities, and just really all abroad, in your book, you go through some very touchy subjects that that we actually need to hear about. But in regards to the Afro-American population, especially females, what can you say to us right now? Because so many people are listening right now. When you said that in the beginning of the show, they said, wait a minute, I can't keep relationships, I'm going off, I have an attitude, and I don't realize I have an attitude. Am I really functioning? What can you say to them right now to kind of encourage them that, you know, one, they need to contact you to try to get some information about the, you know, being an advocate. And then two, you know, they need to read your story so they'll realize that they're not alone. Just speak to them right now and kind of encourage them or what you think, you know, just encouragement words to let them know that it's okay.
Well, you know, I have a cute little saying I always tell people, everybody mental ain't crazy. Many of us just need someone to talk to, and it's important to realize what's going on with you. If you're not aware, then you're going to be blindsided when those symptoms overtake your life. So a good thing to do is to journal, and I know a lot of us use writing as a lost art. But now we have smartphones, so you can send yourself an email. Really to write down how you're feeling, what precipitated the event, how often it's been happening. That way you can see a pattern. That way you can share that with your doctor, no matter how uncomfortable it is. Or even if you call the 800 number and say, this has been going on, that's been going on, and I'm noticing a pattern. What does all of this mean? Understand that you're not by yourself and that you need professional help. You can go to grandma, you can go to your cousin, you can go to pastor. Don't get me started about that whole business. Pastor, imam, whomever, is not a substitute for a clinician. They are not trained to accurately assess you or entirely assess everything that's going on with your mood and your personality and identity issues and all that business. All they can do is pray for you. if you at a point where your behavior, your moods, and your actions is taking over your life and other people are noticing it, then you really need to see someone professionally. And I want women to know that's okay. We have this strong black woman disease, and we're taught that we're weak in some way if we try to reach out for help, or if we can't do it all, then something's wrong with us. That's not the case at all. We're not robots, and sometimes we have to talk to someone. We have to talk to someone, get it off all our chests, and learn how to effectively manage stress and how to cope. Many of us were never taught how to cope. I was, so I'm doing this on my own, but you don't have to.
I love that. I love how you said that. That was very powerful. Because, yeah, you're right. We didn't learn how to cope. And me personally, a lot of people, if you did go off to college, that was the shocker right there. But me personally, I still stayed home for college. So really, I had to adjust real quick in medical school, and that was a big challenge. And so we actually need to. We weren't taught that. I just be honest with you. You know, and that's okay that we weren't taught. See, that I'm so glad you put it that way, AJ. That it's okay. It's okay, because a lot of people would not seek help because they feel that they, you know, in lack of a better word, if they feel weird, they feel out of place, they think somebody's going to talk bad of them, they're going to lose their position in the company, they're going to lose their position as a pastor or minister or, you know, whatever the case may be. Right. But I really believe I'm a grief counselor as well, so I know it's very important to just let somebody listen. You know, we take that for granted, and we now, so, you know, tick, 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 tick on the cell phone and the computers, that we have lost that communication that we've had, especially on Sundays. You know, on Sundays, we after church, you talk and stuff like that, and we need to bring that back to our families, because our families are suffering. We can see it. I mean, you don't have to even turn on the TV. You see it in your own family. But let me ask you this, because, you know, time goes so quickly here on Good Deeds. Tell us how we can actually, one, support you in the things that you're doing, and then we actually, you know, on social media, and how we can actually purchase your awesome, amazing publications. I mean, powerful, because she goes, hey, how they say that you peel back the layers and you actually go real deep so we can be helped.
I do, and I don't hold anything back in hindsight, and it's a lengthy book, but there's something in there for everyone, whether you are the bully, whether you're the teacher or the doctor or the nurse. I want parents to say, whoa, this happened on my watch. Maybe I need to examine what's going on with my kid or spend time with my kid a little bit more. Now, I want the doctors to say, hey, this happened on my watch. How can we change policy and treat patients any better? But when they go into the relationship issues, who that last boyfriend I had would make you want to drink, I want women to see that they don't have to put up with an abusive relationship. In 1 year, in a matter of 6 months, I lost my job, my apartment, dropped out of grad school, had my EEOC claim dismissed, left the church that I was at for 3 years, moved into a homeless shelter. I was debilitated by back spasms, and I began cutting. That was within 6 months. So you'll find a lot in this book. Hindsight is 2020. It's on Amazon right now. You can order the second edition. Just search the name Akundayo, Akundayo, Ekundayo, or you can find me on YouTube at AJ Writer, WRITER, or on Twitter and Facebook at AJ Wright Mental. I'm always, and I hope some professors are listening, I'm always available to come out and speak and tell my story, answer what questions I can about mental illness, the churches and colleges and middle schools and different things like that. I think the book is appropriate for, I say, high school and older, maybe not the younger kids. And I just, you know, hope that it will really help people advocate for themselves and push to change some policies.
Yeah, you said a powerful word there, you know, trying to get, you know, getting into the schools. Oh, my God. because we really need to educate, you know, people early. Because from my remembering from medical school, a lot of the diagnoses are in the millennial age. Most of the diagnoses of different diagnoses in the mental health industry is around that, you know, high school, you know, schizophrenia is kind of early, 15 up. But all that is there, so we actually need to make sure we, you know, help the, I love that, you know, the village. We need to help each other. So that's actually a great idea of getting into the schools, the colleges, so we can actually, you know, help. And instead of just saying stuff, you can actually tell us from experience. So we thank you so much, you know, for being in your purpose and actually speaking up to help, you know, help us in this situation.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And, again, that is helping is one of my goals. I figure if I can talk to the psych majors, the counseling majors, social work majors, get them while they're in training before they pick up the bad habits mm-hmm. of the doctors that are out there. And so that they'll have more cultural competency and understand really the unique challenges that we have as Black people with mental illnesses. 10 doctors,
yeah, I believe
13
it,
prescriptions. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, one of the things that I mentioned in the book, 10 doctors, 13 prescriptions, 5 psych wards. That's my life.
Mm. Lord have mercy. I understand. Yeah, I know, you know, cause lack of education, we tend to end up just. So that was one of my main reasons, just a side thing, that I didn't go into a primary care position because I just didn't want to do that. But, you know, we thank you so much for being here on Good Deeds.
Thank you.
Reach out to us if you need us to do, you know, if you need us for anything, don't hesitate to reach out to you. We'll have the replay and all that stuff on our social media and also on our website. But thank you so much for being here on Good Deeds.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Dr. Sunday.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys, oh, my God, this was a powerful session, but because we need to be aware, mental health awareness, we have to. This is a much-needed topic, just like when we talk about domestic violence, when we talk about all the things that's going on in the politics, all of this needs to be talked about. Now, if you want to know anything about us and the awesome platforms that we have, please don't hesitate to go to www.reneesunday.com. Again, that is www.reneesunday.com. All of our social media there, all of the platforms from the publishing company, the nonprofit, about the events, all of that is there. But you know what I have to let you know? You do have a purpose. You do have a calling. You do have a reason that you're here on the earth right now. You have to do the three things: believe, trust, and walk it out. And to answer the question from the beginning, do not get weary in well-doing. You got to don't stop. You got to get it. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. See you next time. Bye-bye.